B-Pod Studios.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, a Sports Hub. Oh, in case you're just tuning in and you missed the Sports Hub headlines just a couple minutes ago with Tim McCone. Antonio Brown has been released by the Oakland Raiders. So now some stupid team out there is going to fall for the old banana in the tailpipe and say, oh, well, talent trumps trouble. We'll take him. And I was one of these people just as of yesterday. I don't feel that great about the Patriots wide receiver core. It's just Julian Edelman and a bunch of question marks to me. Why not? I'd take him. He's so talented. Might be one of the top three wide receivers in the NFL. No, not now. Not after this. Not since last night in the YouTube video and all the Instagram nonsense. Just go. I said it earlier. I don't even care if you're in the league anymore. Go. He'll still be there. Some dumb team will take him. Chris said the Chiefs. I said the Cowboys. One of these teams, they will feel like they'll be able to reform. I just don't want it to be the Patriots. Go away. I don't care if he ever even plays a snap in the NFL again. Go be an Instagram influencer or whatever the hell it is you really want to do. It's about me, Antonio Brown, as he sucks the energy out of the room. So you want to weigh in on that, have at it, 617-779-0985. We have Pat Steelers tomorrow night. Concerns for the Patriots going into this game tomorrow night, Chris? Any?
Yeah, I think offensive line without David Andrews at center and Ted Karras plugged in there, and then we'll see. For all intents and purposes, a rookie at left tackle in terms of Isaiah Wynn. He missed his entire rookie season with that torn Achilles against a really talented Steelers front. I mean, these guys can get after the quarterback. They have some talented pass rushers, Stephon Tuitt, T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree.
Hayward,
yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, they're loaded up front. And so I think that's an area of concern. And that, to me, is married with the other area of concern, which is the wide receiver core outside of Julian Edelman, because there's not a lot of experience there playing with Tom Brady. You know, Josh Gordon has experience playing with Tom Brady from last year, but we saw towards the end of the season that, remember that Tennessee game when they tried to throw to him 12 times? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there are times that he can be had. I'm not sure, really, he's running the full route tree. Demaryius Thomas has no experience playing with Tom Brady. And then behind that, Philip Dorsett has been good at times, but he's clearly a number four receiver. And then you're looking at rookies in terms of Jacoby Myers and Gunnar Olszewski. So there's some concern there for me with the Patriots, their ability to throw the ball against the Steelers. Maybe it'll be heavy on the running backs. That would make a lot of sense. Maybe this is a pony game where you get two backs in the backfield. It's Sony Michel and James White, or James White and Rex Burkhead, and that's how they'll work around it. But that's definitely a concern. For me, the concerns for the Patriots are on the offensive side of the ball, which feels weird to say.
Yeah, same. And it's now more offensive line than wide receiver, which I haven't really liked all summer. But again, no thanks on Antonio Brown. But the offensive line, and the reason I'm now even more concerned about it, were all these trades and the shuffling that's gone on basically from the fourth preseason game up till now, Chris. The David Andrews thing, I think, might be even more concerning to me than left tackle. Isaiah Wynn looked good towards the end of the summer, and in these preseason games, I'd like to think that he's going to show why he was worthy of being taken first by the Patriots last year in the NFL draft.
Instead of Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, that one's always going to bug me.
Yeah, I know, me too.
But David Andrews, he's been steady Eddie, man. Since he came into the league, you haven't had to worry about him at all. And if you watched the Do Your Job 3 thing the other night, it was on the lone touchdown that the Patriots got in the Super Bowl against the Rams. I mean, Bill Belichick was quick to point out, you know, the blocking that was done by David Andrews.
Phenomenal block.
And how he got to the second level there. So it's not just that, you know, he knows the calls, knows the changes, and, you know, you don't have to worry about him there. The guy's a good blocker, too. And how do you disrupt Tom Brady? Bring pressure up the middle.
Correct.
I think that's going to be an issue for them. I really do. So that I'm concerned there. You look at that Steelers front, and just look at last year's game that they had to play at Heinz Field. When you had your offensive line with David Andrews, you had Trent Brown at left tackle. Marcus Cannon wasn't good in that game. He's got to be better. 14 penalties in that game for 106 yards, including 5 in the fourth quarter. And it was procedural penalties, 5 false starts, an illegal formation penalty, 4 holding
that
penalties.
Cannon, was it Cannon holding? Was that the penalty? That was a killer.
So, I get it. You're home, and maybe you're not going to see as much yellow tomorrow night, but the defenses are typically, as you know, I mean, if you watch Thursday night's game, the defenses are ahead of the offenses at this point in the year for the first month, maybe month and a half. I just think they're going to have some problems up front. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Steelers, too. I mean, we're talking about the pass rush, their ability to do that. They were tied for the NFL lead in sacks last year with 52. The one thing I will say, and this is, for me, the litmus test for the Patriots is I still think that Steelers secondary is susceptible.
Agreed.
You know, I'm not, I've liked Joe Hayden throughout his career, but I think he's on the backside of that career. Steven Nelson's a guy that can be had. They seem to be higher on Artie Burns at this point in the year. I think this, they have Terrell Edmonds, the young safety, but, you know, I don't think he's the greatest cover guy. They should be able to throw the ball against these guys if they're the traditional Patriots we're used to seeing, but I'm just not so sure. And I wonder if they come out and say, well, let's just try and play action, run it, because the Steelers, being the Steelers, will want to tee off on our young offensive line and won't believe in our receivers. And so, you know, they're going to just try and tee off here. And if we can run screens and play action and misdirection and things, they're just going to fly in the wrong direction, running around with their hair on fire, and we'll be able to make plays and make yards, or they'll leave a guy uncovered like they did Chris Hogan last year.
Yeah, do you
make the Steelers beat themselves, which is what I think will be a big part of the game plan?
Yeah, because they're ultimately kind of a dumb team, and that's usually what happens in this instance. And even though I just mentioned all those penalties from last year, I mean, they lost, what, 17-10? And the Steelers were doing everything in their power to give that game away last December. So,
well, the interesting thing about that game, just quickly, was that I'll give the Steelers credit for this. At least on offense, they basically took what the Patriots were giving them, which was Jalen Samuels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Running the ball. I mean, you know, now in the fourth quarter when they should have been running it, were they? No. Roethlisberger was like audibling out of stuff and like, I'm going to throw. But, you know, for most of the game, they decided they'd just run it.
Defensively for the Patriots, though, do you buy into the hype and based on what you've seen and, you know, being down there a bit, that this is going to be one of the better units in the league this year?
Yeah, I think it will be. I mean, I think the hype train, as it is wont to do, has, you know, gotten a little out of control. I mean, I don't think we're talking about 2000 Ravens or 85 Chicago Bears, but
what about 2014 Patriots?
Yeah, I think they can be on that level, definitely. I mean, I think it should be a top 10. They're always top 10 in points allowed. You know, it's sort of shocking when you go back and look at some of the numbers from last year in terms of where they were in yards and stuff like that. In passing yards, they're in the 20s. They definitely got better as the year went on. So we'll see. They'll always be top 10 in terms of points allowed, but I think they could be, you know, top 10 in terms of yards as well, even though I know Bill doesn't really care about that.
Yeah, one of the things I'm surprised about going into this game is that J.C. Jackson mouthed off, if you didn't see this.
Yeah.
So one of the great takeaways in that loss in Pittsburgh last year was the job that J.C. Jackson did against Juju Smith-Schuster. 3 catches, 9 targets, 39 yards, broke up a pass. He was great against him. So earlier this week, and I don't know who was asking the question, J.C. Jackson was asked, how much confidence did you get going up against some of the best wide receivers in the NFL last season? Now you're going into your second year. Jackson says, well, who are some of the best receivers in the NFL? Person asking the question says, Juju Smith-Schuster. Jackson replies, you think he's the best receiver in the NFL? One of, says the person asking the question. Jackson rolls eyes. A few follow-ups were later asked. Question, you're not buying Juju being one of the best receivers in the league? Jackson, quote, in my opinion, I don't think so. There's a lot of good receivers in the NFL. End quote. You typically don't get that kind of stuff. Bulletin board material from any Patriots player.
That would typically come from the Steelers locker room.
Right. Yeah. Because that's just dumb. Like, you don't typically get that. And this is a guy I'm high on. You know,
yeah, look,
he was working a lot with the ones throughout camp and through the preseason.
Like he took a step forward.
I don't know. Is there something going on here? Like, is he looking to get benched? Like, I just don't understand this kind of behavior from a guy like this.
I think there was a lot of chatter last year between those two guys in that game in Pittsburgh, and maybe that's sort of where it's at, you know. And J.C. Jackson played really well, so he's probably pretty confident, although I would think it would be, I'll be interested to see what the Patriots do, because my gut feeling would be, you know, here's what you do, you just double him, but you're not going to double him with Gilmore, because Gilmore doesn't need the double, and that's a waste of Gilmore. So I'm intrigued to see how they cover. I could see J.C. Jackson with help over the top, which would explain why he's mouthing off like that. I mean, if you know you're going to have, you know, help back there, and you feel like you shut the guy down without help last year, then, yeah, you can mouth off like that. So if I'm the Patriots, I give Juju Smith-Schuster the T.Y. Hilton treatment, and I'm like, make some of these other guys, Dante Moncrief, James Washington, who's the guy they drafted, Deontay Johnson or whatever that guy's name is.
And I wouldn't be
shocked. I got it right. It is Deontay Johnson.
I wouldn't be shocked if he's good, because no team produces wide receiver like the Steelers. I got to give him credit for that.
Yes, I would agree. They're the anti-Patriots in that regard. Ryan Switzer, make some of these guys beat you. Don't let Juju. I'd be stunned if the Patriots let Juju Smith-Schuster beat them.
Ultimately, what kind of game do you think we're going to be looking at tomorrow night? Kind of low scoring.
Yeah.
I think the over-under is 54, I think, last I checked.
Really?
Yeah, it's high.
I mean, I feel like it's going to be in the low, like a 23-20, like low 20s.
Agreed.
You know, 24, 20, something like that.
And for those that didn't see you and the rest of the Globies' predictions for 2019, how do you feel like this team is going to end up having in terms of the season? Do you see them going back to the Super Bowl?
I do. I picked them to beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm the Cowboys, huh?
Ooh, you're making a face. I wish you guys could see his face. He's like, ooh.
I don't believe that much in Dak Prescott.
So here's what I'll say about this, the Cowboys. And it could be a bet. I believe in Chris Richard, their defensive coordinator. I think he's done a really good job there. They have a good young secondary, and they can get after the passer as well. They have good young linebackers. I know you like those guys.
Yeah.
Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, who just got an extension. And I feel like now that Zeke Elliott's in the fold, I just go, you know what, honestly, why I'm making that pick? I thought the Cowboys could have won that game last year against the Rams. And
yeah, maybe if they threw the ball a little bit more.
Yeah. And I think they might this year with a full year of Amari Cooper. Jason Witten's back, as I mentioned before. I just, you know, I don't think Jason Garrett's the greatest coach, but I just think it might be their year. I know it's a risky pick. They'll probably self-destruct, but they have a ton of talent. And I do believe in Dak Prescott. And I think that I don't think he fits in the sort of the Robert Griffith III, Colin Kaepernick, you know, flash in the pan type of mold. I thought he showed something when they gave him some receivers, when they brought in Cooper last year. I think he's closer to Russell Wilson than he is to those other guys.
Yeah, he's solid. I don't think the ceiling's is maybe as high as you do.
Okay.
I think he's solid. I just, really, the biggest detriment to the Cowboys to me is the coach.
Well, it's actually the owner.
But you still, and he's, you know, essentially a puppet for Jerry Jones, who was probably, you know, making calls from the box while he's sitting there with hookers. The man loves whiskey and girls. But I don't know. I see them getting tripped up somewhere because of some bad decision made by Garrett. But they'll be in the mix. I ultimately have Patriots-Eagles.
The Eagles? So you're buying Carson Wentz.
I'm more buying how deep that team is on both sides of the ball. And Wentz,
that secondary is...
Wentz, I think, is a little bit overrated. I don't trust his durability. To me, he's like Ginger Garoppolo. But I think that that team is very, very deep.
I'm making a face.
I know, right? But I also think, like, I think the Rams are going to regress. I think the Bears, as evident on Thursday night, are going to regress despite the fact they have, like, an all-world defense. AFC, I think the Chargers regress. I don't even really trust the Patriots that much with Brady another year older. I don't really like the weapons. I think the defense is going to be legit, but I think they're going to be winning games like 21-14 a lot this season. I also think the Chiefs regress a little bit. I'm not going to be shocked if Patrick Mahomes ends up having
that. You don't believe in Spagnuolo and what they've done?
God, no. Oh, like he's a big upgrade over Bob Sutton. I think I saw some stat that Spagnuolo's had like one top 10 defense in the last like 10 years. And I know he was one of the architects of that Giants defense that, you know, helped beat the Patriots. Years ago, like I just
Super Bowl 42.
I don't.
When you destroyed furniture,
yeah. I don't think what they've done there are upgrades either. So you go from D Ford to Frank Clark, and Frank Clark's
better than D Ford.
Yeah, but off the field, he's ready to like lose his mind at any moment, like Tyreek Hill. So
yeah, they don't mind
shocked.
That there though.
I know, but I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up getting suspended at some point. I love the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, but he's not what he was from a few years ago. Okay, so they were 30,
their corners are still weak.
They were 31st in the league defensively last year. I wouldn't be shocked if they're 28th. You know, I don't think it's going to be that much of a difference.
No, I mean, it's, you know, they still have Chris Jones, who's really, really good there. They have some pieces. I mean, we'll see what they can do. I think they're still the primary contender in terms of taking down the Patriots.
Sure.
Those games have been close. I give the edge to the Patriots at the end of the day. And it comes back to something I said last year for me, which is I think the Chiefs miss Kareem Hunt. I think he was sort of the key against the Patriots. Like, the Patriots could not handle him, especially coming out of the backfield. His explosiveness catching the ball out of the backfield, they don't have that. And I don't think Shady McCoy is going to give that to them either. He was the key, you know, for them in terms of being able to get over the hump against the Patriots. And when you take him out of that thing, I think the Patriots have enough to defend them and beat them at the end of the day.
Yeah, so me picking the Pats has more to do with me just not trusting any other team in the AFC. And, I mean, look, like, they've done it for so long.
Yeah.
I mostly thought for the better part of that season last year until the postseason, I thought that team sucked.
Well, to tie it all back together, them losing to Pittsburgh rocked my world. Because I was so sure they were going to win that game. I was like, there's no way they lose to this team in this spot. The Patriots don't lose to this team in this spot. And when they did, I was like, ooh, this is not a normal Patriots team. And that's where I took the cheese, because I was like, two losses in a row for the second time in a season, and they lost to these guys who they own? That just shook my confidence to the core.
I came on the air with Adam Jones filling in for Phil Grenmaz that Monday and said, it's a lost season. This is 2009-ish. Yeah. This is it. And and thanks to the Houston Texans, Demaryius Thomas getting hurt.
Demaryius Thomas, man.
Figuring things out towards the end of the year, as evidenced by the Do Your Job 3 thing that was on NFL Network earlier this week. How they played against the Bills and the Jets at the end of the year, they found themselves. They figured out what they should
do.
And then they flipped the switch, a la the Ravens in 2012, and became the Patriots again in the postseason and proved me and all the haters and doubters wrong. I'm glad that it happened, but I still, up until that point, Chris, I thought that team mostly sucked last year. I really did. And they ended up winning the Super Bowl. So why should I doubt them again? So I'm not. I have the Patriots and Eagles in the Super Bowl this year. All right, your thoughts on tomorrow night's game, Patriots season upcoming, and, of course, the big news of the day. Antonio Brown has gone from a Raider to cut and unemployed. What dumb team is going to take him? And do you, the Patriots fan, want to see him on the team? I'm out. But how about you?
Once my Cowboys get Antonio Brown, Super Bowl, here we come.
617-779-0985. You want to join the show? It's Gasper Murray here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's just football. I mean, I've been playing this game for a long time. I'm sure when I first ran out of the tunnel or, you know, whenever the game starts, I might kind of be like, whoa, like, this is the NFL. But for now, you know, I'm just looking at it like another football game.
That's Patriots rookie running back Damian Harris earlier this week. Asked if he was... feel a little bit nervous going into his very first NFL game, real NFL game, tomorrow night as Patriots open up against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Gillette Stadium. Kickoff right around 8:30, pregame 5:30 with Mark the Beetle Bertrand and the man to my left, Chris Gasper. Catch it here on 98.5 of Sports Hub, and then you can join me and Beetle after the game and the postgame here on the Sports Hub. This was a guy, Damian Harris, Chris, that you and I, when they made the selection in the third round of the draft this year, we were like, well, huh? What? Why? That feels redundant. Don't you have a million running backs?
Yeah, you gave me that Cowboys look.
Yeah, I did. But seeing how he looked in the preseason, once he got in there after dealing with the hand injury, I feel good about this kid. At least in the red zone, short yardage, doing the things that Sony Michel really wasn't able to do last year. I'm high on Damian Harris. I think he'll have a pretty good season for this year. And defensively, on the other side, in terms of rookies, I think Winovich is going to be a beast. It feels like they're going to be using him in sub packages on third downs, just specifically as a pass rusher. But I think he's going to also have a big season.
No, I mean, I was really high on the Winovich pick. Not as high on the Damian Harris pick, but I sort of understand it probably better than I did at the time. You know, given the health concerns long term about Sony Michel and those knees, it does make some sense that you want to sort of double up there. And so I get that. We'll see. You know, Harris looked good. Don't get me wrong. He looked really good against Tennessee. I'm just a little leery of the Alabama back sometimes because you just don't know.
Well, they've been ground into dust.
Well, it's like, are you going to get TJ Yeldon or Mark Ingram? You know, are you going to get Derrick Henry or Trent Richardson? Like, you can't tell with these guys, and they all look the same at Alabama because they get a handoff and 9 yards downfield is the first time they encounter any resistance because the offensive line is so good and because Alabama is basically the 33rd NFL team the way they're built physically.
Yeah,
I mean, their players just look different. So it's hard to tell who's really good and who's built for the NFL and who just, you know, gets the carry and is able to run down the field 8 yards without encountering anybody. That's what makes me nervous. I just get nervous. You know, the Alabama running backs are tough to read. Who can play and who can't?
We haven't got your opinion on tomorrow night's game and the Patriots season as a whole. Tim McCone, of course, reports for NBC 10 in Providence. You also hear him here on the Sports Hub. How do you feel about tomorrow night's game and this season coming up?
So I actually think the Steelers are going to be a lot better this year. I think it's addition by subtraction with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell gone. But I think the Pats are loaded this year. I think the Pats absolutely cruised, and I think they're going to be – it's going to be one of those 14-2 seasons, something like that,
wow.
And they're going to march down to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Wow.
I love the defense. I'm with you.
McCone.
I think Winovich is going to be awesome. I just think the defense is loaded. The offense will be pretty good. They bring in Antonio Brown, they'll be even better, maybe 19-0. But other than that, I think the Pats are ready to go this year.
Do you want Antonio Brown?
So badly.
No kidding?
So I think he's the perfect receiver for Brady.
How
perfect
so?
Receiver for Brady. But, like, not an outside threat like Josh Gordon. I know he's a super talented guy, but generally, like, the weapons that he does the best with are guys like Antonio Brown that can kind of run those, like, precise routes, and I just think they would be awesome offensively if they brought in Antonio Brown.
Here's the problem, though, I'd say with Antonio Brown. And you're right, McCone, from a route running standpoint. He can run the full route tree, and he's actually a smart guy on the field in terms of that stuff. But the Patriots' philosophy in their offense has always been, you know, who's the number one receiver? Who's the receiver we want to get the ball to? the open receiver,
yeah.
right? And Antonio Brown's a guy that wants you to force feed him the ball no matter what and then acts up on the sideline when he doesn't get it. And that is not going to fit into the Patriots offense. And Brady, I think at 42 years old, is not going to want to deal with that.
I just think it's low risk. If he does start acting up, then you cut him. But if you get him in here, if there's any place it's going to work, it's in New England. And so give it a shot. See what happens.
Oh, too toxic. I was with you, McCone, up until last night and all this stuff that's happened since last night and the YouTube video and this morning and all the Instagram nonsense. I am now out on this guy. And I'm with you. I think he would be a perfect fit in terms of the football aspect and like how he plays. And he's not afraid to go over the middle. But no, I want no part of it. What's the name of the vampire movie? Let the Right One In or whatever it is. You let the vampire in the house, you can't get rid of him.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Antonio Brown. You don't let him in.
Hey, they were interested in him in the offseason, and
I know,
obviously a lot has changed since then.
Fair point.
I will say this. Mike Florio just tweeted out that he got a text from an NFL coach on whether Bill Belichick takes a low-risk flyer on Brown, and it's, quote, I bet he does. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, man. No. So, in case you don't know, the nonsense has hit peak. Antonio Brown has been released by the Oakland Raiders. Imagine if you bought that guy's jersey, you suckers. Also this from his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. I'm reading from Ian Rappaport, who tweeted minutes ago. Following the release of Antonio Brown, quote, now that Antonio is a free agent, we are focused on the future, and I will immediately work on signing him to a new team. Antonio is looking forward to a new beginning. I went on my whole rant about how I think, yes, there is some mental illness going on with Antonio Brown, but not the kind I feel bad for. I think that there's different degrees of mental illness, and I have empathy for like 90% of it. People like this, though, black holes of misery, emotional vampires, no, just run. They can't be fixed. They don't want to be fixed. The thing with him, here's another thing I remain convinced of with this guy, and now more than ever, now that he's just doesn't have a team. He really hurt himself physically with what he did with the cryogenic thing, burning his feet. And I think he's embarrassed by it. And as any of us have done at times in our lives, sometimes when you're embarrassed, you kind of dig in and you don't want to show that you've made a massive mistake. And instead of copping to your mistake and showing being a man about it, or being a grounded human being about it, you get stupid. And I think what Antonio Brown has done here has gotten selfish and increasingly stupid because he hurt himself. He might have screwed himself up for the rest of his life and can't play and can't cut the way he used to because he burned his feet severely in the cryogenic chamber. So this is what's really going on, and he just don't want to cop to it.
It has to be something like that because, like you said, too, it's like almost like he released the video last night hoping that they were going to release him, and then when he doesn't, he has to go on Instagram this morning and just double down and continue to go after him.
I want to go to Bob in Needham on line three. I'm frozen up here. Tucker, if you could pull up Bob in Needham on Antonio Brown.
Murray, the most lucid show you've had in a while. I couldn't agree with you more. I wouldn't touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. I don't care if he wants to play for the league minimum for us. I still don't want him in that locker room. I think he's poison. I couldn't agree with every one of your points more. This is one of your best shows. What is he going to do with it? So he gets into the locker room, and then he explodes on a teammate or a coach or anything. Who knows what will happen? I mean, we got Josh Gordon is not a problem in the locker room. Everyone likes him.
Yeah.
This guy is poison. I just heard today on the ESPN that he was late for flights, holding up the whole team to get on flights and everything else. And he was late to practice, meetings, and everything else. He's not what you want. We have enough receivers. If N'Keal Harry's come back in the 6 weeks, I don't want him on this team. I'd almost not root for them if he's on the team. He's such a mental case. I mean, and I agree with your point about he's doing this. It's all about him. And that's an easy excuse to say he has mental problems. I don't buy it for a second. He's been given everything. He's going to be a multimillionaire, and he's acting like an idiot. And then he blows it through. And anyone that will give him that cut, and he won't come here for league minimum.
Yeah, so, I agree with that. I mean, that's the thing. Like,
thanks for the call, Bob.
I think Bob raises a great point there. Like, I don't think that you're going to get Antonio Brown just saying, well, I need to rebuild my reputation, and I want to be on a winner, so I'm just going to come to the Patriots and take like this incentive-laden deal. What's the whole thing that caused him to blow his top with the Raiders? They took away his guarantees.
Yeah.
He's going to want guaranteed money. Now, maybe he'll get to a point where he'll realize that money's not out there and that he has to just, suck it up. But do you think initially his thought's going to be, I'm going to go to New England and just take this contract they're going to hand me? Maybe I'm wrong. I know he was interested in the Patriots before, but, when you look at it, he sort of lost his mind when they took away his guaranteed money. And this is a guy who has always been about, he's Mr. Big Chest, and he's always been about sort of getting paid. Like, I think he's always equated money with respect. And so wouldn't he take it as sort of disrespect to have to take some? Can you imagine Antonio Brown being here? The Patriots are like, so this contract has $3 million in per-game roster bonuses. Like, how's he going to respond to that? Like,
yeah, don't do it, Bill.
You know, if you're on the 53, I'm sorry, if you're one of the 47 game day actives, Antonio, you'll get this money. If you're not, you won't. Like, how's that going to go down? I will say this, though. Drew Rosenhaus is thick as thieves with Belichick, so it'll be interesting. At the least, Rosenhaus might try and call in a favor and use Belichick as leverage, because if it leaks out that Belichick's interested, then other teams will be interested in Antonio Brown.
We'll continue to take your calls on Antonio Brown. You want him, or do you want to see the Patriots stay away from him? Like, I now do. I was with you. Oh, yeah, no, bring him in. McCone wants him. I want no part of him. But we'll hear from you on that at 617-779-0985. Also, I had a bit of an epiphany in watching the Packers-Bears game to open up the season on Thursday night. We rightfully blame the coaches in this league for, you know, how bad they are. It's Belichick and like three other guys that I think you can actually trust as, you know, the really good coach in the league. But the bad play and watching a guy like Mitch Trubisky, is that about the coaches or is it about the GMs and the scouts? Because I think it might actually be more about that. We'll get to that coming up after the Sports Hub headlines. The latest on Antonio Brown here with Tim McCone. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Should be the final play before the 2-minute warning. Third and 10. Trubisky to the end zone, and it's going to be picked off. It's Adrian Amos who comes back to haunt his old team.
All right, so not a great opening night for the NFL on Thursday. Even I will admit that. I love the product. They got me over a barrel. It's my favorite sport. But whew, that was bad. And that was Bears quarterback Mitch Trubisky throwing a horrendous interception right around the 2-minute warning to the back of the left back of the end zone to former teammate, now Packer. Is it Adrian Amos, the safety?
Yeah, there? Adrian Amos. Yeah,
with the Green Bay Packers. Gasper Mari, 98.5 of Sports Hub. And so I kind of had an epiphany in watching this game, and really I had the time because it wasn't a very exciting game, and I decided to look something up because since Trubisky came into the league, if you watch this guy, and they had a fair amount of primetime games, especially when they flexed them late last year, you watch him. If you watch him even against the Patriots last year, it's the same thing you see, like you saw on Thursday night. He can't see the field. He's consistently locked onto his primary receiver. He misses guys that are wide open. It's a disgusting display of quarterbacking. It's offensive to me.
Well, look,
it really is.
Tremont Williams said we wanted to make Mitch Trubisky play quarterback. So you're not wrong. They wanted to make him play the position.
But I started to look at something because I think it speaks to a larger issue in the league that has been going on for like the better part of a decade. So I don't know if it's been mentioned enough. We all know that coaches mostly suck in the league. You have Belichick and maybe three, maybe four other guys you can kind of trust. But what about the general managers and the scouts for these teams? Maybe that's the real reason why we're getting such bad games and bad quarterback play from Mitch Trubisky like Thursday night. Because the Bears general manager, Ryan Pace, traded up to get this bum in 2017. Imagine trading up for Mitch Trubisky. You watch him play quarterback. Bears scouts looked at this doofus. He won 8 college games. Look up the stats at North Carolina. They're not even good in those games, but because he looked like a quarterback. He goes 2 overall in 2017. So not only did they trade up for him, the scouts and the general manager, Ryan Pace, looked at Mitch Trubisky and said, yeah, he's better than Deshaun Watson, who, you know, won a national championship and beat Alabama. Yeah, he's better than him. Better than Patrick Mahomes, who went, both of those guys go after Mitch Trubisky in that draft. And if you look at the drafts going back over the last 8-10 years, and some of the quarterbacks just taken in the first round. This is what this is more about, Chris. Like, quarterbacks that are taken in the first round that should have been taken later? Blake Bortles, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Jared Goff, who I think is a puppet. Paxton Lynch goes in the first round of the Denver Broncos a handful of years ago. To me, I'll give you 5, maybe 6, going back to 2011 that were truly worthy of being selected in the first round by a team. 5, maybe 6. Mahomes, Watson, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, maybe, Andrew Luck, Cam Newton. That's it. And one of those guys just prematurely retired a week or two ago in Andrew Luck.
Yes.
Otherwise, they're not worthy of it. They should have went in the second round or later based on their performance. The quarterback issue in the NFL and bad games like Thursday, is because of a scouting and general manager problem, not because it's that big of a coaching problem. It's the scouts and the GMs that overrate these guys because they're looking for the great white whale,
the
franchise savior.
No, you're right. But I would say, I would argue to your point that it's sort of a supply and demand issue, right? There's great demand for franchise quarterbacks. There's not the supply. Like, so Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes were correctly identified by scouts for some teams, right? Houston and Kansas City,
yeah.
Obviously not by Chicago. But if Chicago had taken those guys, then one of those other franchises probably would have taken Trubisky, right? There's just not enough good quarterbacks, I think, to be able to supply what people need in the league. And you're right, though. I think it is the most difficult position to evaluate. You look at guys like Dak Prescott, who went in the fourth round, or Russell Wilson, who went in the third round. Obviously, we all know about Tom Brady. He's the ultimate miss. And you see, even Joe Montana was a third-round pick. So when you look at stuff like that, I think it's a really difficult position to project and to be able to evaluate, and I think that contributes to it. So one, you don't have enough of these guys. Two, it's really difficult to project who's going to be good and who's not. And then I'd say the third thing is that, in a lot of ways, the scouts, I think, just look for sort of this prototype, the Mitch Trubisky, the Kyle Bowler. Like, oh, did you see that guy throw the ball through the goalpost from his knees? He's unbelievable. Kyle Bowler was terrible. I mean, the guy was a rockhead. Ryan Tannehill. All these guys who sort of look the part.
E.J. Manuel.
Yeah,
who
E.J.
went
Manuel.
First 16th overall to the Bills in 2013.
That was terrible scouting.
Holy crap.
Along with Christian Ponder. You tell me the Florida State quarterback, I'll tell you whether they're going to make it or not. So I could have told you those were two terrible picks.
Yeah, that 2011, that's another one. Look at the first round. So Cam Newton, obvious, goes first overall. He's worthy. He's one of the guys that's worthy. Jake Locker, who admittedly, I liked at Washington, liked his ability to be mobile, but that's the other thing. A lot of these GMs are like, oh, he's got the mobility too. Jake Locker was a bust for Tennessee. He goes 8th overall that year. Blaine Gabbert goes 10th.
Blaine Gabbert.
10th overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2011. And then the aforementioned Christian Ponder, who sucked right out of the gate, 12th overall to the Minnesota Vikings. Like, you got to be better than that. Oh, they look like a quarterback. Just wait. Take someone better in a better position, a position of need.
Yeah.
You don't always
yeah.
have to take the quarterback first because you're looking for the white whale. This is going to be the franchise savior. You watch these guys, just eyeball test alone, not even looking at the attributes or the measurements or anything like that or how they popped maybe at the combine. Just watch their games. Christian Ponder sucked at Florida State.
Yeah, he was not good. He was not. I mean, he was a decent college quarterback. But it's like, again, to me, like taking Ponder in the first round would be like if you watched Miami when Ken Dorsey was there and you were like, oh, this guy's a first-round pick. But to my point, look at that draft you just called up. What year is that, 11?
That's 2011, yeah.
2011. Okay, so I see Andy Dalton in there, but how many of those guys, Kaepernick, how many of those guys actually ended up being any good?
I mean, Kaepernick for a time, he got to a Super Bowl. So Dalton, I guess you can make a case for, I don't like it. But Dalton, Kaepernick, and Cam Newton out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 quarterbacks taken that
So
year.
Three of the 13, had the potential really to be like a starter on a playoff team. And that's the problem. There's not enough of those guys, And so, yeah, you're right. The other teams could have done a better job. But at the end of the day, there's not enough quarterbacks to go around, which leads me to this point of savor Tom Brady while you have him, and we'll see what Jarrett Stidham really is when he has to take over a team.
Adam in Marblehead on the Thursday night game and Mitch Trubisky. Hey, Adam.
What's going on? Love the show, guys. I was working, so half watching with no sound. But every time I looked up, I saw one of two things. One, Trubisky throws a heck of a ball and had some catches called back on penalties, some good catches, some good throws and catches called back. So I wonder if he's just not well coached, if they're just not a well-disciplined offense as far as, not committing offensive pass interference or whatever else. And number two, Aaron Rodgers looks like he's going to get killed this year. Every time I looked up, he looked like a Benny Hill short out there running around. And I just wonder how long he's going to be able to keep, running outside the pocket and scrambling as much as he does. That's it. Enjoy the show, and have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks, Adam. On the first thing, not well coached. Matt Nagy got him to a Pro Bowl last year. He got that team to the playoffs.
I know.
He actually got – Trubisky had a quarterback rating over like 90, like 92 or something like that. He got good numbers out of that kid.
There's a lot of gimmicks in that offense to make it easier on the quarterback.
He's a miracle worker, kind of like how Sean McVay is with that puppet Goff. He's well coached. He just stinks. And then just quickly on Aaron Rodgers, oh, boy, he's regressed. And I'm with Felger on this, and I'm certainly no Packers fan. He needs a real coach, a quarterback coach that he will listen to and respect. That kid, their new head coach, looks 25. Like, and I can just, does it look like Aaron Rodgers is going to take that guy seriously? And some of the stuff you're already hearing, like, oh no, like, we're not going to be letting Aaron audible. Yeah, good luck with that. You're going to be run first. Good luck with that, Matt LaFleur. It looked like, credit to Mike for saying it, his team now looks like the Tennessee Titans. Matt LaFleur was the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. What did they really do there? What did he get out of Marcus Mariota? Nothing.
Now he's made Aaron Rodgers into Mariota pretty much.
Oh, God. All right, but the big story of the day, in case you haven't heard, Antonio Brown, no longer a member of the Oakland Raiders. He has been released. And now there's scuttlebutt that the team he would go to would be the Patriots. Oh, God, don't do it, Bill. Don't. Don't. How do you feel about that? We'll get to that coming up next here in our long commercial-free segment. Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm excited to be out here today. I'm going to apologize to my teammates, organization. Enough talk, man. I'm excited to be out here with my teammates. Grateful for all the fans. And I'm excited to be a part of the Raiders and see you guys soon.
Antonio Brown has been an absolute embarrassment in terms of how he has conducted himself. The manner in which he has conducted himself has made it embarrassing to me for all the times myself and others have come to his defense. Because with each passing day, he shows his petulance, he shows his immaturity, and he shows his selfishness. And it's inexcusable.
And now he doesn't have a team. What a story. Antonio Brown released by the Oakland Raiders this morning. Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So where does he land? Tyler Dunn, blue check mark, NFL features writer at Bleacher Report, tweeting just about a half hour ago, quote, asked one AFC scout just now what the market will be like for Antonio Brown. One word. Patriots.
Oh, God.
You might get your wish there, Tim McCone.
Give it to me.
You're beating give it over to me. There.
Oh, man, McCone.
Yesterday, Chris Gasper making your appearance, your usual appearance on Felger and Maz, you said you were out. I, at the time, was with McCone. No, talent trumps trouble. I want him. He'd be so good. Be a great match for Brady. I don't really trust the wide receiver group for the Patriots this year. High ceiling, but a lot of question marks. I've been referring to them now for weeks as Julian Edelman and the question marks. That's the wide receiver core for me this year. So I would be in on Brown. Not after this. Not after the YouTube video posted last night. Not after the continued petulance, as Stephen A. Smith of ESPN was talking about there, and how he's acted. I can't do it. I referred to Antonio Brown earlier as, you know, as an emotional vampire. People like this can't be fixed. Does he have mental illness going on? Probably. But there's different gradations of mental illness to me. Most of them I have a lot of empathy for. People like this, they can't be fixed. They don't want to be fixed. They just want to...
He is very narcissistic.
Oh,
there's no
God.
Question about that.
Look in the mirror. Self-awareness. It's you that's the problem. Not me. Me. It's about me. Me. I can't. I won't. I've dealt with people like this. I feel like I'm experienced with people like this. So I would implore Bill Belichick and the Patriots, don't do it. Don't do it. It ain't worth it. I'll ride with what you got. Josh Gordon and his issues, who I am empathetic for. I wish the best for Josh Gordon. Does feel like he's on the right track. I hope so. Demaryius Thomas, bit soft for my taste. I'll ride with him. As he's gotten older and he's coming off the torn Achilles. Him, Edelman, and his drops creeping up a little bit, getting a little bit older, and his maybe bum thumb. You know, at least I can trust him. Who else? Gunnar Olszewski. Great story there. I'll ride with him. Philip Dorsett. Maybe at best a fourth wideout, but I like him. At least he tries. Comes back to the ball. I'll go with those guys. I want no part of Antonio
Brown.
We're
going to clip that positive Philip Dorsett tape because I know at some point this year it will be very usable.
No, I don't know.
You're gonna rip him at some point. I can feel it coming.
Philip Dorsett's really never come close to get the F off my team, like Cyrus Jones once.
We'll see.
But how about you? Maybe you want him because, again, talent trumps trouble, especially in the NFL. Dave and Worcester, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Do you want him?
I do. I can see him in uniform tomorrow against the Steelers. I think it's a great storyline, and I think he wants it.
Oh, God, I just...
So I could see, look, obviously Belichick makes the decisions here and he's never shied away from talent. But what I would say is that you're asking a lot of Tom Brady because now you've saddled him with Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon. And the reality is that most of the babysitting there is going to have to be done by Brady because when there's an issue with Antonio Brown not getting the football, he's going to go to Brady. And so does Brady want to deal with that? You know, I think Brady's emotionally invested in Josh Gordon and helping Josh Gordon. You've heard Bert Breer say that, and Bedard said it as well, that that's something they sort of asked Brady to do, to build a relationship with Josh Gordon, help him along, and help him sort of overcome his issues. Now, at 42 years old, you're going to ask him to do that and to babysit Antonio Brown? I mean, that's just asking a lot. Doesn't mean that Belichick wouldn't do it, but you're sort of putting your quarterback, I think, in a bad spot. And I have to be honest, too. Like, if the Patriots do this, then to me, they really are like the new Raiders. You know, by any means necessary, take any talent necessary. It's sort of the idea, to some degree, to me, of sort of the Patriot way goes out the window. It becomes a fairy tale if you're just going to, you know, be completely mercenary in regards to who you bring on the team and just overlook everything and just bring these guys in without any sort of regard to their character. Then, you know, we can't sort of be talking about the idea that there's this better way of doing things, and that the people under the helmets are actually better people than the ones wearing other helmets in the NFL.
Yeah, give us your tired, your poor, your gigantic gaping a-hole. Rob in Rhode Island, where do you think Antonio Brown goes from here?
Well, Jim, I'm like you. I did want AB up until yesterday. I mean, to this morning. And I, too, am related to someone like Olivia Soprano and all that comes with it. And so my thought is, just like the Sopranos, he's going to be going to New Jersey with the effing Jets. Oh. Him and Belle are going to be back together.
So that,
that's what my take.
Yeah, thanks for the call,
that's
Rob.
That's an interesting one.
That I could maybe see. You know, that's a team that would bring in the notorious a-hole. I said,
desperate times and desperate teams call for desperate measures.
Yeah, so I said Dallas. You said Kansas City, who obviously will have no problem giving money to a gigantic a-hole like Tyreek Hill and Frank Clark, who they bring in on the defensive side of things. Maybe the Washington Redskins, I could see that.
Yeah, that one's been out there. One's been out there, a dysfunctional franchise. This is from just on Twitter from Sportsline. You know, betting site, they have odds on this. The Patriots are 2-1 odds on the next team for Antonio Brown.
Oh, my God. Tucker Silva, who I see behind the glass producing today's show, also co-host of the Fantasy Football Show with Mike Lockhart. Catch it tomorrow morning, 8 to 10, every Sunday here on the Sports Hub. I see you just throw up your hands in a cheer. Are you pumped for this for fantasy aspects, or do you actually want this as a Patriots fan?
No, both. As a Patriots fan, I would love this. I think he's perfect for the offense.
Oh, God.
And you just keep him on a short leash, that's all. Doesn't work. After three games, cut him.
You don't let the vampire in the house. Once the vampire's in the house, you can't get rid of him. That's Antonio Brown. And the last caller just alluded to Livia Soprano. I'll tell you why. Like, this is who Antonio Brown is. I tweeted this earlier today, too. Antonio Brown, Livia Soprano, those of you who remember the show, one of the greatest of all time, they're the same person. Emotional vampires. We'll get to that right after the Sports Hub headlines. The latest on Antonio Brown here with Tim McCone. 1 hour to go. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.